recorded from an undisclosed location, it's time for Gotta Say It, the only sports show that goes around the stats. Because, well, stats are boring.
I'm just going to be nasty right now. I'm sorry. I apologize to the rest of the world, so Mom, don't listen.
And now, your host, Dr. Marvin Williams. And
I like him, but here's the thing. He always seemed to me like somebody passed gas in his face.
Matt Ryan.
Well, we're waiting.
Now recording, so whenever you are ready.
Okay. Let me just see if I can get myself in my mix a little bit here, just so I can have a reference here.
Understand.
There we go. Am I? No, I see me. I don't hear me. You know what? At this point, who cares?
I'm getting you, so that's all that matters.
Okay, that's all that matters. All right, cool. All right. And welcome to another GSI cast. Recording from the great, lovely, lush aquarium of the southeastern Congo. I'm Marvin Williams, along with Matthew Aloysius Octavius Orenthal Gerard. I love Texas Ryan, the third, the half, and the fourth, and the 15th.
First of all, wow, you're going personal in the opener. And they have a lovely exhibit at the southeastern Congo aquarium. It's really something to behold.
Yeah, something about barbecue spiked fish. I'm not sure what that means, but hey. There it is. And nobody knows it's personal. I mean, hey, we know, but this is America, so.
That's right. I've been masquerading as a Brooklynite for all my life. Secretly, I'm a Texan named Euphrates.
Which would explain what happened to Spurs.
Yes.
In the NBA Finals. Oh, man. Oh, I tell you. You know, it's, look. Was I pulling for the Spurs personally? Yes, absolutely. Why? We talked about that before. We talked about the whole thing of how much I like Tim Duncan, how, you know, the whole nine. But what I found interesting is this post-finals conversation for not just, and we're actually going to mix two sports when you guys here today, for the Heat and for the Boston Bruins. And this deal that the Heat were supposed to win. And maybe I missed it, Matt. I'm sure you watched it a lot more closely than I did. But at any point, did it feel like the Heat were supposed to win the final this year?
During a regular season, yes. Because they had that huge winning streak. But
right.
There were times during the playoffs where you felt this emotion when they were playing the Bulls and when they were playing the Pacers, and especially when they were playing the Spurs, you were like, they're going to blow this.
Right, exactly. And it's funny you would say they're going to blow this, because that's what everyone else was saying, that, oh, you know, man, it's rough against the Pacers. The Pacers match up so well. You know, how is this going to shape out for them? And all of a sudden it was what the Heat was doing wrong as opposed to what the Pacers were doing right. And then we get to the Spurs, and then we get this sort of remix. Same story, different team name. What the Spurs are, you know, again, what the Heat were doing wrong versus what the Spurs were doing right. And I'm sorry, I just didn't see it that way. I saw the Heat go up against two very solid teams. Notice teams. And without a plethora of stars and without all the big endorsement deals and without all the big commercials, going up against those teams that played team concepts that challenged what the Heat was doing. And I think it made the basketball a lot more interesting.
I agree. It's not supposed to be I know basketball is a star-driven game. We talk about the players that made the game.
Yeah.
But this is an era of great teams, like in the 1980s when the Celtics, the Lakers, for that short time, and we discussed it on the old show, the 83-84 or 84-85 Houston Rockets, the 86-87 Houston Rockets, even right. The 94 and 95 Rockets. Great teams resonate more in the NBA than great players, Because you can look at the Lakers from this past year. They had great players, but they were a terrible team. And you can only get by so much on pure talent when you get down to the get down.
Right. What a beautiful point. What a beautiful point about how they had great players, but not a great team, which brings us back to the conversation that we always hear. These arguments that are just complete waste of everyone's time talking about, is LeBron the greatest ever? Is LeBron the greatest ever? First of all, let his career finish, one. Two, how about, I don't know, let's get a little perspective here. Are we talking about championships? If it's so, then that's not an individual thing. That's not an individual gig. Teams win the championships. There's a team effort that goes on. LeBron doesn't make every shot, doesn't make every rebound, doesn't make every assist, doesn't make every... one guy doesn't do it. It takes everyone. It takes... And you hear guys who've won multiple championships, including, and the guy I always go back to, and you know this, Bill Russell. Mm-hmm. And you listen to Bill Russell talk about each one of those championships. And you hear him talk about all the things that went on, and invariably within the first paragraph of every conversation about every championship he won, and he won a few, by the way, if you don't believe me, look it up. He always mentions a name that you go, oh, wow, they were on the Celtics then. What does that tell you? What does that it tells you that it is more than one person, more than one guy. And we've gotten into this era and this time where the championship defines either one person won the championship and someone else was just along for the ride on the team. And it does not work that way in reality. And we saw that more than ever, I think, in this particular, these finals were great. They made me think about wanting to watch more NBA next year. Yes, I said it. They made me think about wanting to watch more NBA next year.
Well, Marvin, when you got disenchanted with the league, this was, you were in the primo era of the star player.
Right.
Allen Iverson, Kobe Bryant, the rise of LeBron James, Shaq still resonating in the league. There's a different league now. The guys that are trying to be stars are kind of becoming a dystopic fad. And you can see that in a lot of the people, in a lot of the teams in the NBA. Some of them are trying to grasp it. Some of them already have grasped it. That's why LeBron James did the smartest thing he could do and go to Miami. To go to a team that could win. Not going to a situation where he can make something of it, but going to a team where he can win and win a lot with players that complement his skill set.
And, you know, it's funny you would say that because I'm so with you on this. But, and I think we started this conversation in one of our last GSI cast. The idea of LeBron, and here's why I think his physical ability makes him so transcendent of all the other players, maybe next to probably what Wilt Chamberlain could have meant to the league when he came in. And that is, until the day I leave this earth, I will always contend if LeBron could have put his ego aside and taken over the, I'm going to say the Magic Johnson role, for lack of a better word, with the Cavaliers, I think they would have won at least one, if not two, championships when he was there, because he was so he was so much more physically talented and with a relatively high basketball IQ that he had the gift at that when he came into the league. No one could guard him. No one could stop him. But he was also the best passer on the team. He was the best reader of defenses on the team. If I'm not mistaken, I think he led the Cavaliers in almost all the offensive numbers, with the exception of one or two every now and then, every year. So when he took the Cavs to the finals against, I believe it was against
the Spurs.
It was against the Spurs. And another time against the was against the Mavs, or am I thinking of someone else?
You're thinking of when he went to the Heat.
That's okay. Exactly right. So when he went to the finals against the Spurs, who did he have on that team? And I guarantee
bums.
You, if you're not a
he had but, bums.
Right. You know, I can guarantee you, if you're not a Cavs fan, if you don't follow every person who ever played with LeBron ever, that you don't know who it was.
It was Zildrinus Zilgauskas, Anderson Varejao, Booby Gibson.
No, that's right. Booby Gibson wasn't there yet.
Delonte West.
It was
a bunch of also-rans, and no offense to them. They're professional basketball players. They are talented.
Exactly.
But
right.
When you just have one option on your team.
Exactly.
And LeBron James is the guy that could drag a, for all intents and purposes, mediocre ball club to a conference final, an NBA final, conference semifinals on sheer will?
Exactly.
It's not, and I know I'm going to come off condescending, and even though this is 3 years gone by since the decision, it wasn't fair to LeBron to keep doing that to himself and to his body, because at some point, look at Kobe Bryant.
Right.
Great
example.
Had, after Shaq left, basically the same thing LeBron James played with in his entire Cleveland run for a few seasons until Bynum came along and Mitch Kupchak finally got his head out of his tuchus and made some decent moves.
Right.
But it's hard for me to cry for Cleveland, not the fans, but the organization, when they built nothing around their star player.
And to further that argument, the idea of LeBron could have made a lot of people look good, more importantly himself. Just the fact that he got them there on his ability from everything you just said speaks to what he was able to do. And if he hadn't spent so much time fighting the fact that, look, dude, you're the best guy on the team. You used the word witness when you came in. He could have proved it then. And maybe in the middle of it, I was so anti-NBA that I just wasn't looking at it. But going back and looking at a lot of those parts of those games on YouTube and a lot of him in Cleveland on YouTube and just sort of rechecking out, just kind of going back now, trying to get some perspective. Like, I actually went back, and we can talk about this later, but I actually went back and I watched the 1999 All-Star game for Major League Baseball. I watched the games where Mark McGwire tied and broke Roger Maris's record. I watched the game where Cal Ripken broke Lou Gehrig's record. And it was interesting going back and sort of getting a new perspective. I love watching old school games, especially, I'm saying old school, it's back in the 90s, but I love watching those particular time frames, because from not only the commercials, but the sort of the rhetoric, the language that was going around the league at the time, you know, and most of those broadcasts were done on ESPN. So you're getting the top of the line, commercial, corporate lines, everything everybody said all day, every day, all day. So you really get a chance to sort of see and experience, sort of from a sociological standpoint, what people were looking at as they were looking at Major League Baseball during those particular years from 95 to 98. Now, the same comparison with LeBron, go back and you look at those games with him with Cleveland, right? And then you see this guy who was just shattering record after record after record, just coming to lead, the youngest of this, the youngest of that, the youngest of this, the youngest of that. And he was being gunned for. He was being gunned for by grown men who knew how to play the professional game, and he was still able to do what he was able to do. And that's while he was arguing with his coaching staff, not respecting his coaching staff, not respecting those around him, when he would have taken on the role that Mike Brown wanted for him. You be my Magic Johnson. I'm telling you, looking back at it now, I can easily see at least one championship trophy in Cleveland. Who knows? I mean, more cats might have wanted to have come to Cleveland. He could have remained there. He could have done what he did. But because of the fact that he didn't take the step into the compromise to give into his awareness to his ability, that didn't happen. The ownership didn't put anything around him to help him, so that didn't happen. So they both stood on opposite sides of the Rubicon. And, of course, he got in his little sailboat, and he went down to Miami, and the rest is becoming history, as we say. But it's just sort of interesting to see this new dynamic of LeBron is no longer the fall person. He's become a part of the fall group. This time, when the Heat looked like they were going to lose the series, they were talking about how Dwayne Wade was not contributing, how Chris Bosh was not contributing, and how how LeBron was doing everything, as opposed to you go back to when they lost against Dallas, the conversations were, well, if LeBron would have done this or if he would have done that. And you look, whoa, his numbers were good in that finals too.
The narrative changes. The narrative changes because that year it was all about LeBron stabbing Cleveland. LeBron James was the heel. In to put it into your terms, he was a superstar Bill Dundee of the NBA.
Yeah.
And over the course of the past 2 years, he's revitalized his image. And Chris Bosh is kind of a perfunctory guy in the fringes of the NBA as a star or as a valued asset. I know he is. You know
valued
he is.
Asset, exactly. Valued asset, glorified role player, of which there are a lot more out there than we think. And Chris Bosh, I mean, okay. I'm not saying that what he sort of represented in the short college career wasn't anything, and I'm not saying that what he did in Toronto wasn't what shouldn't be sneezed at. But when put into the larger scope of things, Wade, LeBron, he's not.
No.
He's sort of in between sort of cat, and like you said, that sort of perfunctory. He's better than the average
he's
Joe.
He's a guy who can get you to the first round of the playoffs, no problem.
Along with Matthew Aloysius, Octavius Ornthal, the Disney. Brian, the 17th, a half, and a third.
I will show you the world.
M-I-C. I am relatively Marvin Williams. And
relatively?
You know, we never know what universe we're in. speaking of not knowing what universe you're in, the NBA. Wow, another segment on the NBA. Look, we all see what's happening with, like, as Matthew said, the stars that are moving where they're moving. And going to all different places because, A, you know, as, you know, Matthew said off air, someone such as Kevin Durant, who Matthew made us aware that he just signed with Jay-Z. He wants to expand his brand. Some people are reading that as, well, maybe he wants out of Oklahoma City. He's saying no. He wants to stay because you know why? He doesn't want that LeBron James backlash of leaving a small market to go to a big market, yada, yada, blah, blah, right? Okay. However, as we were going with this conversation, those athletes know that their brand would carry them a lot further than their game. Because how many times, how many Tracy McGrady's, how many Vince Carter's, how many Grant Hill's, how many guys that came out that were very popular guys all over the place in every commercial, in every ad being referenced in movies. And all of a sudden, we realize we only got a 3-year sample of them at their best. Maybe. You know, so when we look at that, what does a player have? Well, I know that though my contract might say this with whatever team I'm with, that my deal with company X, let's just say it that way, is going to mean more to me if I remain popular as a person, if I remain in the media spotlight. And, you know, worst comes worst, there's always the big brother superstar or a big brother celebrity or survivor celebrity option later on down the road.
But or go to least, North Korea.
Yeah, which is like Canada. And you then have what? This opportunity for what? Your name to continue to sell. You know, you become the Beyonce, the Britney Spears, and all those other people who, you know, Beyonce, Britney, they make a record every 5 years. But in the middle of time, but I should say in between time, they're selling perfume, panties, backpacks, and swatches for paint. So the NBA players understand that reality. No one understood that reality probably better than someone like Dennis Rodman, who knew I'm on this particular team that has the man in the NBA on it. So I'm not going to get the kind of player recognition for my contributions to this team. And by the way, that man's Robin wasn't bad either. Mm-hmm. But if I can be the guy who's marrying Madonna, marrying Carmen Electra, wearing the wedding dress, posing nude on a bicycle, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, my brand, hey, what can we say? Dennis Rodman's brand still carries on now.
It resonates.
Speaking of North Korea. Yeah. And do you look at Scottie Pippen, who basically we get a quote once every 6 months that we know that he's still okay. So these athletes know that. And Kevin Durant, understands his reality. I mean, he understands his ability. He understands his talent. But you know what? It is a business. The NBA has moved corporate. It's moved on to where it has moved on to. And the money means what it means. It's more than just about jersey sales. It's about other things, too, for those guys. And speaking of jersey sales and those guys, why is it that L.A. is screaming to keep Dwight Howard? He doesn't want to be there.
That's why. They want things they can't have. It's Los Angeles. I thought you knew this by now.
Wait, Orlando did the same thing.
It's because these franchises in the NBA that know they don't have long-term success with the pieces they have.
Right.
Need something to sell tickets. Because for the Los Angeles Lakers, they have two players in their mid-30s that started for them last year that won't be starting for them this year. They will be injured. They will be on the disabled list in a retroactive term.
Right.
And the Lakers are looking at the other team that occupies their building, who just re-signed their star player to a $107 million deal.
And got a great coach.
Are looking to build around the players that are already there.
Yep.
Trying to solidify their base for their franchise and knock out the Lakers. And the Lakers, and I'll just finish up my point here, the Lakers are scared. For the first time since moving from Minneapolis to Los Angeles, they have a real threat.
That's true. You're absolutely right. The first time they have true competition there. But I'm looking let's look at it this way. Dwight Howard has accomplished what in basketball?
Multiple All-Stars. He's won to an NBA Finals.
Individual good team. Keep going.
Oh no, he is a quantifiable star with a litany of bad press and injuries.
Okay, so here we have this cat who is well known, who has all these individual accolades by his name, who his best attribute is the fact that he's 6'11". He got a coach fired from a franchise because his promise was, if he's not the coach, I'll stay. Coach gets fired, he leaves anyway. City of Orlando they probably sold more Dwight Howard Please Stay t-shirts than they sold Mickey Mouse t-shirts that month. He left anyway. Then he goes to L.A. He's not the man there either. Quite frankly, if I was a GM, I wouldn't want him to be the man on my team. Nothing personal. Hasn't done anything to show me that he could be the man.
If he goes to Houston, because right now, the top, according to Mark Stein from ESPN.com, in his opinion, the top two candidates are Dallas and Houston. And he won't be the guy in any of those cities. Because James Harden will be the leader of that team in Houston. And Dirk Nowitzki. What?
Do you want him to be the guy?
In a sense, you do. In a sense, you don't. In a sense, you want him to be your star player. You want him to be, because he could pass, he could create offense, he could play defense. Do you want him to be your leader? Probably not. Because there's a definable difference between leader and star. Kobe Bryant is both. LeBron James is both. Carmelo Anthony, the jury's still out. Because there's signs that he can be both.
Right.
Dwight Howard, no.
See, there is nothing about him. And I'm just going to say this. He's in that same boat as those who shall not be named from that same league, to me. He has this individual ability and has no idea of how to translate that to the team game, and has done nothing to show us that he can. I will say this. I'm going to say his name. Please, I hope you're sitting down. Allen Iverson. Yes, I know. I said his name. And here's why. The year he took Philadelphia to the finals against the Lakers, It was masterful. You got a glimpse of what this guy, if he really focused, if he really looked around himself, what he could really be. And I'm going to say this. It was beautiful. Yes, we all know how they basically got dismissed from the finals by the Lakers because that was just a monster team. But you saw what this guy was able to do. And I hearken that to what we saw, what LeBron was able to do when he took Cleveland to the finals, when he was pretty much the only cat on that team. You saw the ability of Jason Kidd when the Nets went to the final. But now, yes, I know he had Kmart and he had Richard Jefferson with him. I get that. But there was no doubt who was the field general, so to speak, for that franchise and who moved them forward. And I'm sorry, with all due respect to Larry Franks, it was Jason Kidd that was leading that team. So we got a chance to see that with Allen Iverson. There is nothing about the year that Orlando went to the finals with Dwight Howard as their center and as their focal point. What happened during those particular finals? We're not going to bore you with the stats.
He knew Turkoglu.
That's right. That's what happened to Dwight Howard. So here's a cat who has shown you, one, his ability to be the anti-leader on a franchise. Two, his ability to whine to ownership and everyone else that nothing is ever his fault, takes no responsibility. And, you know, when Patrick Ewing works with you and turns you into a true center, and you turn your back on the one guy who didn't diss your talent and said, here's what you can be, do what I say, you do what he says, and you become a force in the paint. Become a force in the game, and then all of a sudden you decide he wasn't good enough for you because he never won a championship, or whatever your reasons were that you spouted out to your buddies, and when it leaked out, you said you never said it. You've already proven us that you say lots of stuff, and then you turn around and say you didn't say it, even when you're caught on tape. So I don't even believe
he doesn't know how to act like an adult.
And here we go. Here's a kid coming out of Georgia. High school, I forgot what Christian Academy or whatever here in Georgia. He goes right into the NBA, and he still acts like a high school kid who just really can't get it, who doesn't have the mental capacity for his physical ability, and he makes every mistake to prove that. And you know who suffers? The fans of his teams. I felt bad for those cats in Orlando who were buying those T-shirts, really thinking he was going to stay, because it was obvious he was not. I still see that press conference when Stan Van Gundy got the word that Dwight Howard basically said, it's the coach or me. And he was, and you know, Stan Van Gundy is telling the press all about this. And he's saying, look, here's the deal. If, you know, if Dwight doesn't want me here, I don't have to be here, whatever. I mean, whatever, you know, you guys can talk to him about how he feels, but I'm going to do my job until ownership tells me no. And then Dwight Howard walks up and puts his arm around Stan Van Gundy and says something to the effect of, what's going on, coach? Like nothing was wrong. And it was just like the awkward Welcome to the Bad Timing Awards. Even the media people couldn't even laugh and giggle because they said, awkward.
Yeah.
So, okay, L.A., I get it. You need to make some noise because the Clippers are getting it done. But there's a lot of other baskets you can reach in than the basket for the one cat that, A, doesn't want to be there, B, is not going to produce if you keep him. See, he still keeps looking at New Jersey like, darn, I wish that would have really happened for me. Now I know it's not going to happen, so where am I going to go? And D, the unfortunately ugly part about it is you're going to have Mr. Bryant talking about how the team sucks because Mr. Bryant has sort of acquiesced his place in current NBA lore to LeBron James. And why do I say that? The way he talks about himself and the team now, it's almost as if he's talking as an analyst, not as a player who would once say, look, I want to be the one taking that free throw shot, or I want to be the one taking that shot. Now he sort of gives in and says, well, you know, LeBron's a good player too, you know, and you know, who wouldn't want him leading their team? And he's saying stuff like that. And we all know that that's not the Kobe, that's not the Black Mamba. That's not the guy that we've seen before that is all about me, even if he's not there. So there's a change in Kobe now. I won't say that he's sort of looking at the other side of the door, but I think he feels, because he has a lot of NBA miles on him going out of high school as well. And like you said, he's in his mid-30s now. So here we go. a guy with a lot, and he's played a lot of games, not just regular season, but postseason. So he's been there a lot. And he, and you know what? He's earned all the accolades that he's going to get once he retires. First ballot Hall of Famer, the whole nine, blah, blah, blah. However, when you look at this franchise and this team and what they can do now, you have an opportunity to rebuild right with Kobe as your leader, not just on the floor for his final seasons, but also off the bench or on the bench too, to help bring, because he's chained as a, you see him working with the younger players more now, which is a great thing to see too. So it took this long for him to sort of realize, I cannot do this by myself. And that's great. Now let it play out. And it's not going to play out as long as you have 6'11 standing in the middle going, I really wish I was someplace else other than LA.
There are moments that define individuals and cause, force them into maturity. Everybody has them. Dwight Howard has a couple of instances where it should have happened. In and out of basketball. It hasn't happened yet. But there's gonna be something that jumpstarts Dwight Howard's maturity, or he won't survive in the league. There has to be something or someone to define Dwight Howard as a person, and I'm looking at his name right now on my bookshelf.
There you go.
Phil Jackson is, if I'm an NBA franchise right now and I'm looking to hire Dwight Howard, I'm calling Phil Jackson on the phone and I'm saying, look, we don't want you to coach. We don't want you to GM, but we want you to become the guru for this kid. And I know it won't happen.
Right, exactly. Because Phil would never succumb to being with one person, whatever, you know. Yeah, he would never do it. But
interesting note, and I know we're going to get to this next, but I really want to talk about the Boston coaching situation, because there's a multitude of things that can happen. And if one of them involves Danny Ainge getting fired and Phil Jackson getting hired, Boston will be holding a parade for their title now.
Oh, my goodness. You know what, Matthew? You just called it, ladies and gentlemen, the very first GSI cast. Overtime, and on an NBA segment, no less. Oh my goodness, who are we? What have you done?
Oh no, we gotta. We've been talking way too much about basketball. Someone get a cricket bat. Where's the cricket?
I think I ate it.
Yeah.
Look, here we go. Nugget on top of the Dwight Howard situation, the LA situation, and the whole nine. Seeing that Dwight Howard no longer wants to be there. It's not going to work if he's going to stay there. What do you do? Can you bring in somebody? Matthew says that he will listen to a coach. I say it can't be a coach. I say it has to be another player that will be willing to either beat him up in the locker room.
It's not because Phil Jackson's a coach. It's just that Phil Jackson has worked with so many difficult personalities in the National Basketball Association that.
But you know what, though? Those difficult personalities were one thing. Motivated. Kobe, Shaq, Jordan, Pippen, Rodman. You want me to keep going?
Oh, no.
You
see what I'm saying?
They were all motivated, and I just don't see the motivation with Howard. He hasn't shown me anything to show me that he's going to be motivated. Hasn't done it.
He got me there. He loves the idea of being a basketball player. But does he enjoy the work of being a basketball player?
Bingo. Charles Barkley said that when he came into, because Charles Barkley is one of those cats just like Bo Jackson who could have played any of the three professional sports that he played in college. Okay, people don't know how good he was at baseball at one particular point either. So he had a chance to play football, baseball, or basketball. He chose basketball. And he came in, sheer ability, and who did he say turned him around? He said Moses Malone cornered him in the locker room. And for those who don't remember Moses Malone, please look this cat up. Yes, he had a stuttering problem. Yes, he had a lot of other issues. But I'm going to tell you something about Moses Malone. If you want a clinic on rebounding, YouTube Moses Malone.
He could box out the Persian army.
And wait, while eating a chicken sandwich, All right. The guy had those kind of, who every great rebounder, you talk to Dennis Rodman, you talk to anybody. Moses Malone was the first player, I'm going to call him a modern player, I'm doing the sarcastic quotes, that even Bill Russell said, that guy can rebound. And Bill Russell could rebound. So trust me, Moses Malone cornered Charles Barkley.
Is that your ultimate front court? Moses at the four, Russell at the five?
Oh my goodness, what could you not do? And just, you know what, Jabbar can be point guard.
I don't know if Kareem can play the point. I don't know if he's that graceful to play the one.
You know what, he might not be able to dribble, but boy, could he pass. And that's another great thing about those big guys that we see. We talk about even like KG, and KG, underrated passer, his ability to get the ball out of his hands.
William Walton.
Yes. Yeah, oh my goodness, it's
Look,
crazy.
Look, I'm white. I gotta pick at least the one good white center in the history of the National Basketball Association.
Who's that, Jabbar? Because there is no way William Walton was not a brother. I'm sorry.
Well, he listened to the Dead.
Afro. He listened to the Dead. He had an afro. He wore a headband. And he wore knee pads when he didn't need to.
Sounds like,
he's a black guy.
Am I black, then? Because I do all those things.
You know what? I didn't want to tell you. But welcome.
Yay! I'm finally accepted.
And speaking of accepted, the Boston Celtics, who may or may not get Phil Jackson as their head coach or in their organization.
Now, is that a thing, or did I just make that up?
You know what? Here's the thing. Since Doc Rivers has now left Boston to go to L.A., and Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce during the week of this particular recording have now been officially traded within the division to Brooklyn, which is sort of like McNabb being traded from Philadelphia to the Redskins.
No, you know why? Because Garnett and Pierce will be able to contribute to their teams.
And that's where it's different, because and there's a part of my heart that says in Boston, the organization said, these guys are done. We're going to prove it. We're going to trade them in the division. And then when they get showed up, it's going to be Danny Ainge, you're out of here. Because they still have Rondo.
And then there's rumors about Rondo getting traded now.
Yes, too. And now if Rondo gets traded, if you listen to WEEI, it's a Boston radio station. I'm not sure if they're an ESPN affiliate or not, so I don't want to misspeak this, but WEEI.com. If you take a listen to those cats and you listen to specifically the 10 o'clock show, when you get Mutt and Marloney, and then after that you're gonna get two gentlemen, Salt and Hockey, and both of those two broadcast tandems have gentlemen who played. Marloney played for the Boston Red Sox. Hockey played for the Celtics, if I'm not mistaken. Here's the sort of insights you get. Cats who call in, and it was so funny. Matthew had texted me about the potential trade of Garnett and Pierce from the Celtics to the Nets. And I was listening to WEI at the time, and there was all these people calling in saying, well, you know, they can't really do this deal. Now, wait, by the way, these are the NBA analysts. They can't really do this deal because Boston wants too much. Nets have nothing to give up. There's too many salary cap issues, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I text Matt back. Yeah, they want to do the deal, but apparently there's too much junk involved. And this is coming up on the NBA draft day, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Yes, this was Thursday.
Right, exactly. So here we go. So I text Matthew that back because I'm listening to it off of WEI because we love to give everyone credit. Whoever we never steal anything, we always borrow. So from WEI, they said
that.
Well, that too. So I am not a crook. So an hour after Matthew and I were texting back and forth and it looked like the deal was going to happen, when they actually said it looks like it's going to go down, there's just some financial stuff has to be worked out. All of a sudden, the calls change from get these guys out of here, they're too old, they're done, to, oh my God, what are we going to do? They were great Celtics. And the producers of WEEI, of Mutt and Marloney, racked up a bunch of callers back to back. The first call, Kevin Garnett's done, he served his time, let him retire gracefully, blah, blah, blah. He brought us a championship, that was good enough. To, what are we going to do without him? They should have kept him. He still has money. It's the same
caller. It's the ex-girlfriend ideology.
Bingo. Bingo. And going, and everybody, everyone was so confused. Why within the division? The argument from the Boston franchise is, these guys wanted to go. They didn't. They don't feel as though they're going to be hurt within the division. And what do we have now? We have a case where many people feel as though now Brooklyn is now the contender in the East next to the Heat for real this time.
No,
not
they don't have a bench.
They have
an $80 million payroll in their starting five.
Matthew, who looks at the bench
until the season. They're signing Kyle Korver to be their seventh man in the rotation. Korver!
Who looks at the bench until the season starts. You know better. You know no one never thinks about the bench until the season starts. And that's all of a sudden, we don't have a bench. You should have thunk of that 3 months ago.
In Indiana, if they keep David West, can honestly make it back to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Indiana's the truth, man. They're young. They're motivated. They're working hard. Well, very well coached on the level of coaching that you see with the Spurs. So, yes, don't count them short. They might not have the names, but boy, do they have the heart.
And,
boy, do they
and my New York Knickerbockers.
Oh, that's right.
Backflipping Arn Anderson riding a tricycle through Teaneck, New Jersey.
I forgot they were still in the league. I'm sorry.
They're looking to trade Steve Novak, Marcus Camby, and a first-round pick to the Toronto Raptors.
What?
Andrea Bargnani.
Oh, bless you. Seriously?
That's the rumor. And it's pretty much confirmed.
Okay. You know what? There is nothing we can say to that, but then, really? Seriously? Really? Okay. Let me get this straight. We're going to go for somebody who's a step down from the Allen Iverson / Seth Dwight Howard mentality to become the what of the team? I mean, what is he? What really?
He's going to play shooting guard? The only way I could see this working is if you have Felton at the one.
Okay.
Shumpert at the two. Bargnani at the three. Melo at the four. Chandler at the five. And you trade Stottlemyre.
Melo does not want to be the four.
Well, he did a very competent job at the four. The Knicks have no other options at power forward.
Did you hear his verbiage when talked about playing the four? It is what it is. You know, whatever the team needs me to go. If that's where I have to be, then that's where I'll go. That doesn't sound like a guy who was embracing his role. Doesn't sound like a guy who says, I'm going to do this type of team. It's like, well, okay, sure, why not? Whatever. That's what it sounded like to me. Now, maybe I'm totally misunderstood it.
You're not misunderstanding it. I'm just being that Joe from Queens guy who says,
let me tell you what I think, Marvin. First time listener, long time caller. I gotta say that we move Melo to the four because we got no other options. We got no other options, and I'll hang up to hear what you gotta say.
Yes, right. You know, just one time, I would like to hear one radio guy says, I'm not going to talk about that and just talk about something else. Just once. I just like to hear, like, you gave me permission to talk about what you said. And speaking of which, we'd like to thank our listeners for giving us permission to talk about what we said here today and listening to us. Gotta Say It here in the Gotta Say It Cyberverse. Again, you can follow us at gottasayitradio.webs.com. New address to follow soon. You can tweet us at Gotta Say It Radio. Email the show at gottasayitradio@gmail.com. And if you have any topic, of course, that you want to hear, something that you think that Matthew and I might know about, or if you just want to hear about it anyway and just we can make up stuff for you, but we'll try not to, just let us know and we will do our best to not mangle a topic and make you hate us forever.
Yeah.
Along with Matthew, I wish it's Octavius Onthar, Gerard, Ryan the third, the half, and the fourth, and the 15th.
Hello.
I used to be Marvin Williams, and I approve this message, and we still go hard. Let's get